Hello, this is
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Carmen Amelos, host of the New York Pod Cafe, starting a new live show today, a little segment, with the excerpts from yesterday's show featuring Toni Mack, a wonderful artist, up-and-coming artist, who is in the process of recording a new CD, music CD. And we're just so delighted and so excited that, you know, we've been introduced to this amazing young man who's doing amazing things with his music and with his career and in his organization. Toni was expressing just yesterday that they're in the process of coordinating this concert, and they're looking for a venue. They had planned it for this Saturday, but the venue fell through, so they're looking to see if they can get a new venue. And he's feeling very upbeat and very positive because he truly believes in what you know, he's doing. I mean, the cause that he's supporting is the cause of the Hurricane Sandy survivors, those communities that have been devastated by Hurricane Sandy. So, you know, this is one young man who does not let anything stop him. He's not letting anything stop him. He's not taking no for an answer. And he's going to be calling me in just a couple of minutes. So I hope that you hang tight and please, you know, just listen in. And if you want to ask any questions during the live segment of the show, which is right about now, I'm going to try to keep it live for you guys for as long as it takes to get him to come on the air. That would be wonderful. As far as the news is concerned, I had heard yesterday that the Long Island community would probably be expecting not to get their power back for another, you know, several months, but I just got some good news today from somebody who lives out there that they're expecting, the folks out in Long Island are expecting to get their power back in time for Thanksgiving. So I was so thrilled to hear about that because I have family who lives out there, and, you know, I just can't see people that I love, you know, spending Thanksgiving and the holidays in the dark. I don't think anybody wants to do that. I can barely spend 10 minutes in a pair of cold boots, let alone a cold house. And so, you know, my heart goes out to these folks. After Sandy, there is a lot of restoration that has to take place, and there are many organizations that are helping to make progress, one of them being the Red Cross. I don't know how many of you are aware of what the Red Cross is doing out in Staten Island and in some of the communities here in New York. But for those of you who need to get information on who to contact at the Red Cross to try to put on either an event, a food and clothing drive, or just bring focus to aid for Hurricane Sandy survivors, please, by all means, contact the Red Cross. You would go to www.redcross.org. I think that's pretty obvious. For those who need assistance, if you need assistance, if you're still in dire straits and you're living with family, or if your home has been devastated and you have nowhere to go, please get assistance. The Red Cross does have a get assistance category, and they have one in each state. If you want to donate funds, by all means, go to the Red Cross website and donate now. They have a donate now button. But if you want to do an event and you want to talk to them, you can actually get a contract going with them, and they will support your venue. But I believe that you have to follow their criteria. You really need to stay within the guidelines of what they require from folks who want to help. And we have to be able to help selflessly and know that when we're doing something, we're doing it not for ourselves, but for others. And these people, they work very hard year-round to bring aid and support where they're needed for the homeless and for people in devastated areas all over the country. So just know that you have a choice. There is an organization out there that has support in place to get aid to people everywhere. I have been doing the broadcasting now for I would say 7 years. I had started the New York Podcasting Cafe several years ago, and one of the first people that I interviewed was a life coach by the name of Nilda Perez. And if you go to www.newyorkpodcast.com or newyorkcafe.com, sorry about that, www.newyorkpodcafe.com, you will find an archive of some of the interviews that I have done. But more so, I did a video interview with Tito Puente Jr. several years ago. And I tell you, I love that video. If you go to my website, you'll find it there. You'll also find it on YouTube if you're interested in looking up that interview. And I'm planning to air that interview in segments here on Block Talk Radio, on the New York Pod Cafe on Block Talk Radio. The whole focus of this program is just to introduce independent artists and people who are already established, who are interested in getting on the program and interacting with the audience, with the community out there. So, it's one of the things I think that's key to me is to bring focus to people in crisis, to people in need. I would like this program to be not just, a show to feature talent and singers and writers and people from different walks of life, but anytime that there's a crisis, I would love to be front and center, letting people know that they're not alone and finding ways to have this program serve as a kind of outpost to inform the people, the community out on the web, on the internet. So, I've been on now for a couple of minutes, and I'm sort of hoping that our friend Anthony or Tony Max gets on with us. We're sort of waiting for him to call. But for the time being, since I am live, if there are any of you who would like to call me right now and talk to me, I would love to hear you. I'm at 646-200-3938. Just pick up the phone, give me a call. Leave your words with us to the people in New York City who have been affected by Hurricane Sandy. I'm sure that a lot of them are getting their internet back, and they're going to be very happy to hear your voices, leaving your well wishes to them here on the New York Podcasting Cafe. And it's a cafe, but it's a virtual cafe. And the reason I decided to put that word at the end of the show is because, why not? You can kick back, get a cup of coffee, join me with my cup. I've got my coffee mug right here. And we can chat and talk on the air and sort of get to know one another and just, cozy up and have everyone listen in and, have a little party of our own, a little coffee party or hot cocoa party. Yeah, hot cocoa sounds good, too, right about now. I'm finishing my coffee, but I could go for a cup of hot cocoa at this very minute. So I really do hope that those of you who are listening in will call and pose any questions that you might have for me here on the New York Podcasting Cafe. And please feel free to ask any questions that you might have. Well, let me tell you a little bit about me. My bio is out there on my website. But my name is Carmen Amoros Goldberg. Goldberg is my married name. Amorosi is my maiden name and is also my stage name, which I use when I perform on stage with my husband, who's a pianist. And I come from a family of 9 children. My parents are natives of Puerto Rico, who came to this country when I was just a little girl. I was just about 3.5 years old when I came to live in Long Island. And we soon moved into Brooklyn because that was where the work was, where my father was able to find work. And we grew up a very tight-knit family, 4 brothers and 5 sisters, and at one time a dog named Jeffrey, a human. We gave him a human name. Those brothers and sisters and I grew up in a God-fearing, God-loving home. My family, my father, raised us. From the time that I was 11 years old, my father made a huge life change. He decided that he was going to, turn his life around and turn to God for spirituality and for guidance. And so we were brought up in a religious home, a God-fearing home, a home that prayed. And my sisters and I soon began to sing in conventions for the Assemblies of God Council, youth rallies and things like that. And we had a wonderful musical family. My parents were not musical. Well, they didn't start out musical, but we soon learned that we got it from them because they both sang also in church. I played the guitar. I learned how to play the guitar, and I learned how to play the accordion. Yes, I did play the accordion. It's not a very chic instrument to some people, but I love the accordion. It's such a romantic instrument to me, and it's just such a warm, warm instrument to play. And I still play a little bit. I don't have an accordion, but any time that I've encountered someone who has one, I find that I have not forgotten everything that I learned on the accordion entirely. And I do have a cousin in Puerto Rico, Esther Danilia, who plays the accordion. She's a music teacher, and she teaches accordion, and she is an amazing, amazing, amazing accordion player. I don't know where her skills are right now, but she was a wizard, and she played this amazing accordion. And when I was about 10 and a half, my father asked me if there was any particular instrument that I wanted to learn how to play, and because she inspired me, I asked him to get me an accordion. And so for a time, I took classes and I learned how to play the accordion. But anyway, over time, I grew up, and I continued to sing in churches, and I joined the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and I sang with them for about 11 years. And I sang with them as a recording artist for a time. They're a wonderful choir, directed by Carol Cimbala and Pastor Jim Cimbala, who pastors the church. And I was also a member of a church called Fuente de Salvación, which was a Spanish church, and I attended there. And the reason I'm talking about these churches is because it's very important to have a spiritual life. It's very important to have a foundation, a spiritual foundation. And so I grew up Pentecostal at first in a Pentecostal Spanish church that belonged to the Assemblies of God, was a member of the Assemblies of God. And the pastor there for a time was Domingo Valdez, who was an amazing, amazing pastor, who took over the church that was started out as a little storefront church and became this amazing $1.5 million building that he erected. By the time he left, that church was completely full. And now they have 3 meetings a day. And he was my pastor. He was my rock, and his wife. They both taught me when I was studying the Bible at Bible Seminary. And then I moved on some years later to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, and I was under the pastorship of Jim Cimbala, and I was in ministry under the ministry of Carol Cimbala in the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Two wonderful people, people that I still love very, very much. And they were sources of strength to me, pillars of strength to me. And I still have friends who belong to the church and who still go there. I'm no longer a member of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. I attend CCC, which is a little closer to me because I lost my car about 2 years ago, and I find it easier to attend closer church. Although, quite frankly, I was out of the loop. I had stopped attending the Brooklyn Tabernacle back in 1992 for several years, and recently I decided that with all my professionalism, with all my academic, you know, with all my corporate world experience working at an international or global international help desk in technology, having worked for the Associated Press, having worked for Lazard, Fair, an investment banking firm, and some other large firms, Ziff Davis, Modern Bride Magazine, I worked for all those companies. The job does not satisfy. You can work in the most glamorous environment in the world. You can work for, you name it, you name the house. It could be a blue box department store working for the design department. If you don't have spiritual grounding, you could be an executive in an investment banking firm also, where places where I have worked were in banking institutions. If you don't have spiritual grounding, no matter how much money you make, no matter how large or how beautiful a home you have nothing, because we're not just carnal creatures. We're spiritual beings. We need to have a spirituality to us. And so over the years, I decided that the channel through which I was going to have a connection with God was through the church, going to church on Sunday, you know, going to prayer meetings on Tuesdays, and that kept me solid and grounded spiritually. I'm not the sort of person that will stand at the street corner and proselytize, but whenever somebody needs a word, they're going to hear it from me. I'm going to share. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to uplift them. I will not judge. I will not shove my beliefs down anyone's throats, and I'm only sharing it here just so people know that I'm a multifaceted person. So I sang for a time with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, which is a Grammy Award-winning choir, and I was a recording soloist with them for a couple of numbers that I recorded with them, and here I am, thank God again, doing what I love to do most, which is just to love God, to help people because of my love for God, to help the Hurricane Sandy survivors because of my love for God. Because, you know, we can't love God if we don't love one another. You can go to church all you want. You can go to shul. You can go, you know, you can practice whatever religion you want to practice or whatever channel of spirituality you want to follow. But quite frankly, if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, you're wasting your time. I don't recommend that you even bother, because quite honestly, we all need to love one another. The whole point of the church being here is to be a force in the community, to make a difference on this planet. We're the salt of the earth. And this goes for, you know, anyone in any spiritual realm. You know, the whole point of religion is that we better ourselves spiritually so that we can then become better human beings. And if loving other people is not part of the equation, then we might as well just toss it. We might as well just forget it. We need to love people in order to be effective spiritual people, in order to be happy. And so I continued throughout my life. And being a multifaceted person, not only do I sing for God, and I sing also on Broadway. I do some Broadway venues here and there from time to time. I am also an artist. I was born an artist. I draw since I can remember. At the age of 4.5, I began to draw. And my father came home one day and asked my mother who that etching, graphite etching of Jacqueline Kennedy, who had drawn that? And my mother wouldn't answer. And he said, this couldn't be a child who did this. This had to have been drawn by a male. It was very well done. It was a drawing that was very well drawn. And my mother pointed to him and said, there's your artist. And he couldn't believe it. So I've been an artist since I was about five years old. And I can draw from looking at someone and doing a rendering of a sitting with someone. But I can also draw from memory. My drawing from memory, I'm not so great. You can see some of my pieces on my website somewhere, my Facebook page somewhere. From memory, I can draw. I can create a face that I have never seen before out of memory in my art. And that's a lot of fun to do. I learned how to paint when I was working, when I studied at the Art Student League of New York under this amazing maestro named Nelson Shanks, who has a studio in Manhattan, and he also runs Studio Incaminati out of, I think it's Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I believe, forgive me if I'm wrong, but if you do a search of Studio Incaminati, you'll get the full location and address of his school. And Nelson Shanks, maestro, I call him maestro because he's a master painter. And to all of us, his students and the people who know him, he's like the Michelangelo of the 21st century. I studied under him for about 2 years, and I also won a scholarship to study at his school at Studio Incaminati. And I learned color theory there, and I did a lot of studies there. And I have yet to paint my first great painting, but that's coming right along. But to make a long story short, Nelson Shanks is a world-renowned painter. He's painted many heads of state. He's painted the Pope. He's painted Princess Diana, who's painting hangs at her Althorpe home, I believe. And he's done so many amazing exhibits, one of them at the Hermitage Palace about a year ago, I think. And he invited us, his students, to go. But unfortunately, our budget just didn't allow it because we had a very low budget. But he's just this amazing man, this amazing painter who has this amazing gift. And so I studied art with him for a time, and then he retired. And we missed him a lot at the Art League. And I've been on hiatus from the Art Student League for a while. I'm a member there. I'm a voting member of the Art Student League of New York. I'm also a member of NAFE, the National Association of Female Executives, and the Portrait Society. And I'm also a member of the NPPA, National Press Photographers Association, because I'm a photographer also. And I have my press pass with them. So I've done a couple of fun things in my lifetime. And I'm somebody who loves people. I love to do things with people, and I love to have fun. And this girl loves to have fun. And my life has not always been a lot of fun. I have taken a lot of stumbles. I have made some choices that were not good for me. I cannot go into detail about them here, but just know that I'm a human being just like you. I have, I venture to say, though, that in spite of my stumbles, God has been forgiving and loving, and he has blessed me tremendously. And many of those stumbles have served to be a source of strength and encouragement to other people. I do say that I would prefer if people would just sort of learn from what they hear from me and not from taking those same stumbles, because quite honestly, I shouldn't be here. But anyway, so this is who I am. I'm a singer slash artist slash SAG actress. I'm also a member of the Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA, the American Federation of Television and Recording Artists. I appeared on several television shows and several feature films. So I've done a little bit of everything, and I've had a little bit of fun. I've been on Law and Order. I was on The Sopranos. I was in a movie called World Trade Center with Nicolas Cage. I worked in the movie Enchanted, a Disney movie. I also worked in School of Scoundrels with Billy Bob Thornton, with whom I was in a couple of frames with him in that movie, and it was a lot of fun. Not to gloat or anything, but those are just things that I felt that I needed to do, explore, and enjoy for a time. I'm still doing some of them. I get called. I still go on auditions. I do over 40-plus size modeling. I'm still doing that. Donna Grossman, thank you very much for sending me on those auditions. I love you. Donna Grossman is this amazing casting agent in New York City. And Barbara Stein, also a fabulous woman whom I met on the set of Law and Order. I love Barbara. She's just been phenomenal. She took me under her wing and coached me for several months on television acting, and sent me on some modeling jobs. When she approached me on Law and Order, she was on the set of Law and Order, and asked me to come on board with her. I didn't know what she was talking about. She said, "Well, I'm an agent." Well, I didn't believe that yours truly could be a model, because I'm a full-sized Latina woman and with a very round moon face. And, well, she sent me to work, and I made a lot of money. So thank you, Barbara Stein. Barbara lost her mother several months ago, and my heart goes out to her. She's been, mourning, but this is one amazing woman. A tremendous woman. She was an actress, an executive television executive producer. She knows everyone in Hollywood. She has been a role model to me. Well, so that's a little bit of me. Those are little bits and pieces of myself, of who Carmen Amoros is. I'm just but a speck in the eyes of God, anyway, in spite of all of the little things that I have done, in spite of all the little toys that God has given me to play with. But, you know, I'm just glad that I played with some of those toys, because, quite frankly, at least I know that if somebody needs a little help with a resume or is interested in doing something, knowing something different for a profession, I can't promise them success, but I know that I can sort of steer them in the right direction and help them a little bit with what little knowledge I've accumulated. But overall, I think the thing that I enjoy doing the most is seeking God's peace for my life and walking day after day thanking God for all the wonderful things that He's done for me and everything that He's sent in my direction. So I cannot complain. I have been truly, truly blessed. I think the greatest lesson that I have learned in my life has been to give. I have not always been in a position to give, but even at times when I was not in a position to help people in some way, teaching them a skill, teaching them something, or giving them some kind of financial support, I gave anyway. And God has enriched me, blessed me for it, and I really recommend that to other people. And speaking of giving, shifting the topic over, back again to Tony Max, who is working on this, putting together this concert. If anybody knows of a venue for this concert, we're still looking for one. I say we because he's my brother, and I consider myself a part of that effort. Please, by all means, notify him at www.reverbnation/AnthonySanchez. His stage name is Tony Max, and his Anthony Max Sanchez, but his stage name is Tony Max. So by all means, please contact him at his Facebook page. Also, he's on my Facebook page. And put him in touch with any venues that you know that might be interested in bartering and helping him and the Red Cross to put on this amazing benefit concert that they're putting on with these amazing, amazing musicians and singers and artists and poets, just to help keep the Hurricane Sandy survivors warm. These are people who need our love, and Tony Max is showing them his love. And I am showing them my love by putting Tony Max on the air on my program and putting Tony within the sound of within reach of the internet audience. Tony and Liz, and I asked her to forgive me because I know her name is Menezes, and I keep saying Melendez, and she was so gracious yesterday during the program for correcting me. But Liz is also an amazing artist. Her husband is a music producer, and both she and her husband are working side by side with Tony Max to try to make this concert benefit concert possible. And we all know that the plight of the Hurricane Sandy survivors trying to get their homes rebuilt, get their lives back into some semblance of normalcy, is not going to take a couple of months. If this is going to take 6 months, it's going to take a year. Who knows how long? I don't know. Maybe less. Maybe, like I said on the show yesterday, some millionaire, billionaire mogul will find it in his heart to build the homes of these people for them. And we know that what happens when we give, we grow. Ecclesiastes 11:1, I quoted it yesterday, I'll quote it again. If you cast your bread upon the water, it will soon come back to you. So don't think that just because you're putting out your resources and your money and your clothing, whatever it is you're giving to the Hurricane Sandy survivors, that you're losing anything. You're not. You're gaining tenfold. You're gaining more than you can ever imagine. God is going to bless you. You're going to be blessed. So think about it. You're lucky. You're already blessed that you did not lose your home in a storm. I'm super blessed. I'm living by the shore. I'm only living about 15, 20 blocks from the shore. And this was declared a Zone B, which is we were likely, likely to be asked to evacuate. And I can honestly say that the surrounding houses, the houses that surrounded us, were flooded. Just one block away, homes were flooded. If you walk around the neighborhood, you see homes with tons and tons and tons of, damaged furniture, electronic equipment outside, thrown out in the garbage because a lot of people lost valuables. And God preserved us. He preserved my husband and me and many of our neighbors from the flooding. So we're very, very blessed. And because I'm blessed, I'm on this show talking to people and asking them to have compassion. And when somebody like Tony Max says, hey, I want to do a benefit concert with no monetary interest for myself or for the artists who are going to contribute of their available time to sing for free, to bring aid, please, take them seriously. Don't question their motives, because there's nothing in it for them except God's blessing. And I know God is going to bless Tony Max, and he's going to bless Liz Mezenzas. He's going to do amazing things in their lives for what they're doing. And I can speak for myself. I've already seen it. I don't need to be convinced that I'm going to be blessed. I know that I've been blessed. And, of course, in life, we're all going to experience some types of loss, I know that my life will continue for I don't know how long, and during the course of my life, I'm going to stand to lose some things. It's all part of life. It's all part of life, and we all lose. We're all going to lose. Let's accept it. It's reality. We can be God-loving, but God didn't promise us a rose garden either. We have to take the good with the bad. Okay? But just for now, just realize that whatever you do, know that you're going to be compensated divinely for it. I'm going to try and see if I can get somebody. I have a caller who's trying to get to call into the program. And if you call 646-200-3938, you will reach me, and I will let you on the program. Please remember that when you call, you're going to be on the air. You're going to be listening to far many more millions, possibly, of people by talking on my program than on your regional radio station. So please be mindful and measure your words carefully, and know that this program is set up to uplift and build up the people who have survived the hurricane, because the first couple of episodes of this program I am dedicating to supporting the folks, who actually have experienced the fury of Hurricane Sandy. Can you hold one? I'm going to put you on hold for one moment. Hello, this is Carmen. You're on the air. Okay, seems like we lost that caller. Hey, I'm back. I experienced a minor little glitch there for a couple of minutes. So, as I was saying before, please feel free to call us at 646-200-3938. I'm really sorry. We experienced a little technical difficulty here, and we got dropped from the show for a couple of seconds. But we're back. And if you want to reach us, call 646-200-3938. I'm going to try and see if I can reach our amazing artist, Tony Max, who was on the show yesterday, who has agreed to do an amended show with me this evening. So I'm going to try and see if I can call him now, if this system does let me. It's not an easy system to work. It's a bit intimidating, these buttons. But Tony, if you try to reach me, please, by all means, do. Try calling me now, and we'll see what we can do here. So far, I have not had any success placing the call to him. Let's see. If anybody hears me, can you call me? 646-200-39. Please call me. 646-200-39. I need to know if you can hear me. Doesn't seem that I have a connection here. Okay, I'm still here. I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm still here. And if you need to call in, please call me to 646-200-39. Trying to see if I can place a call to Anthony. Anthony, I'm having a hard time reaching you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Anthony, can you hear me? I don't know if you can hear me. I don't even know if I'm connected anymore. But I need to keep talking and filling up some of that airspace so that people who happen to tune in don't think that there's nobody here. Sad to say. Let's see. Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Oh, hello, hello. I can hear myself. Yes, I am on. I am on. But this is a problem. I'm having a bit of a problem with my switchboard. Yeah, I can't seem to accept callers for some reason, and I I truly apologize to those of you who are trying to reach you. Tony, I know you're trying to reach me. I saw your text message, my Google text messaging. I see that you're trying. I see that you're on queue, but this seems to be a problem here. I'm going to try to do a quick refresh and start all over if I need to, okay? So I ask the audience to be patient with me, and we'll get it going in a couple of minutes. So stay tuned. Hello. Hello. Okay, we're back. Thank you, Anthony. I see you. Anthony, let's see. It takes a couple of minutes for the browser to process on this machine, so please forgive the delay. I'm still trying to master being an engineer and a host. Tony, if you wouldn't mind, try hanging up and try calling back. I'm going to disconnect the calls that are on queue right now. So if you wouldn't mind, try calling again, okay? Trying to see if I can accept Tony's call. Hello. Okay. Hello. Can you hear
Hello?
Me? Hi,
Hello.
Tony. How are you? Tony, yeah, I can hear you, but can you hear me on Blog Talk Radio?
I can hear you on my phone.
Wonderful. Okay, you might just need to turn down, if you have the PC turned on, you might need to turn down the volume on your PC so that the audience doesn't begin suffering from that case of tinnitus. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I've been resting for the evening. It's the first evening that I'm actually in bed early, so I took advantage and just laid down while my son was at church.
Well, I'm just absolutely happy that I was able to make a connection with you today. I've shared a little bit with the audience about, you know, the effort to get the venue for that wonderful benefit concert that you're still planning.
I was listening to you for about 15, 20 minutes trying to on hold, so I heard everything.
Well, you know, it might serve as an encouragement to you to know that I've only been on air, two days in a row, and over the past couple of shows, just two shows, I've already developed an audience of about 700 people. So we know that while not everyone's calling, people are listening and they're downloading the program and they're getting to know about this amazing thing that you're trying to do through this program. And I'm really thrilled. I am so happy to know about that. I feel very upbeat about what you're doing, and I know that this is going to happen. This benefit concert is going to happen. And,
it definitely is. At first I was very upset and a little disappointed and kind of discouraged
right.
about it. But I just started to take, assess what positive things I could take out of, all this planning, because it was just a lot. I mean, it was a short amount of time, but in the 4 days that we were planning it, it was just like at least I think maybe 18 hours of the day was trying to promote this, sending emails, putting posts on Facebook, and it was just like an onslaught of just promotional effort on Liz and my part, and it was just we were relentless, and we just kept going. And I mean, the both of us, her husband would tell me that she would come home and just sit down and crash. And I would pick up my daughter from the babysitter. I would just sit down to try to put my daughter's shoes on, and I'd fall asleep.
Really?
With my daughter's shoe in my hand. And my babysitter would just leave me there, and I would wake up about 40 minutes later asking, wait, what's going on? And she told me that well, you fell asleep, so I just left you there. I mean, you look peaceful. So it was exhausting. I mean, mentally, physically, and then on top of that, when I was in the Board of Education, just just trying to mentor these young kids and teaching music and translating for English language learners. And it takes translating from one language to another, especially the idioms that you can't really translate effectively from one language to another is taxing mentally. But thankfully, we're at this stage now, and I mean, some of the great things that I can say is that I now have a publicist that is willing to work with me, just because she saw how relentless I was in my efforts, and then also how my work ethic and how I like to work. And it's the way I like to work is when I know what I want to do, it's all right. Now, what doesn't, I mean, I guess I learned this from, I think it was Ravi Zachariah. He was talking about illegitimate pleasures. And he said that anything, like get a piece of paper, write down what your vision is, and then anything that distracts from that vision is illegitimate pleasure. It might not be sin or something that's illegal, but if it's distracting from what you want to do or your goal, then it's an illegitimate pleasure, and you need to remove it from your life for that moment. So everything, I mean, even my wife, she would try to, talk to me about, the house she wants to get and things like that. And I told her politely, of course. I told, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you clearly.
Oh, good.
I was trying to block out the background noise by me so that the audience could hear you. But yes, I can hear you.
Oh, good. So politely, I told her, honey, I know women, you guys think of so many things at the same time and are able to do multiple things. And I told her, honey, I'm a man. I'm not a multitasker. When I know what I want to do, I'm driving towards that. Everything else is secondary. I can't think of what I'm going to do three phases down the line when my first phase mm-hmm. isn't complete. And that's just the type of person that I am. For we get done first with this phase. Then we move on to the second phase. Then we can think about the third phase. But until we finish the first phase, I'm not thinking about anything else. And that's just how this week has been. Not thinking about anything else but the families, this event, mm-hmm. how we can get it going, who we can get in there that's going to really make the concert something that's going to be not just, entertaining for the people to listen to, but it's going to be an experience. And that's
right.
even in my music, what I long to do, and it's something that I believe is a lost art within the music industry now today, is that when I was younger, I would listen to albums, and it would take me on an adventure. It was like almost reading a book, that you would pop a CD or a disc, or, I mean, when I was younger, it was a 45.
Right.
and you would just stay there and listen, and then the songs would just take you on a trip, and you would just, like for me, when I hear music, I see colors. I see, I see just seasons and colors.
Mm-hmm. You're like me.
That's the way I think about music. And so when I hear a wonderfully composed record and music, just songs that are wonderfully composed, even the way the instrumentation that's used, the dynamics and how it builds up to the certain situation within the song. It takes you on an adventure, and it takes my mind off of just some certain worries that I have. And for those 24 minutes, however long the record lasts, I'm in another place. I'm not necessarily where I am physically, but mentally I'm escaping, and it relieves me, and it causes me to be at ease. And that's what I long to create. I long to create experiences that when people leave the show, they can say, man, I want to experience that again. I want to have that experience again. And that's my approach to performing, to singing, to writing. It's just,
yeah.
I mean, again, if you, like a lot of the feedback that I've gotten from that song, Motion of Your Ocean, the song I wrote for my wife, is the imagery that it creates in them, that it instantaneously,
mm-hmm.
there's a picture that they have, like they see an ocean, they see, you know, they see a ship in tempestuous waters, and how, you know, eventually they understand that the person the song is about brings calm to that situation, and the ship can go
right.
easily, you know, on its course. And those are the feedbacks that I get from people that have listened to the songs, and just that I've asked for feedback. And it's encouraging, because that's my goal. It's one of my goals.
Yeah, and you know something, if you accomplish that, you can accomplish anything. And you know something, I'll be honest with you, even if you did it with one person, you will reach, you will have a very, very large reach, very far reach. I mean, you know, like I said, 3 days ago, you didn't know who I was. Yesterday, well, the day before, I listened to your music, I was hooked. And today, we're here on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm sharing with you that at least 700 people are tuning into our show. I think that's amazing. Sometimes one person can make all the difference, and you've reached me. I believe in your music. I love your music. I really enjoy it very, very much. The lyrics, the pictures that it paints when you sing, especially, like you said, Emotion to Your... What is it again? Say that title again.
Motion of Your Ocean.
Motion of Your Ocean. I love that song. That's going to be one of the first ones that's going to play in the program soon. Because I'm going to be replaying yesterday's show again.
It's wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you for your support.
Okay. Well, you know, can you hold 1 second for me? I'm gonna drop the call for a couple of minutes and try and see if I can reprogram the show, because we have 90 seconds before we go off. I forgot to ask for extra time. Ha 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 ha! You can tell I'm an engineer, right?
Yeah. No problem.
So I'm gonna have to come back in a couple more minutes. Okay. Have
okay.
60 seconds. So just hang in there. Audience, please hang in there. We're going to be back on the air in a few minutes.
Awesome.
Okay. Tony, I'm gonna just hang up with you, okay?
Okay, no problem. What?